Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online to give you the opportunity to call and get immediate answers to your questions or to discuss the important issues in your life right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel welcoming you. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One aspect of the gospel that we don't talk about a lot, and I'm not talking about our ministry, but just in general, is this idea of righteousness, the fact that when Christ died, he took our sins away from us, and in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. And I love what Paul said in Romans 10. It said that Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. It's a powerful, powerful yes. truth, but what in the world does it mean? How does it impact us? What is this truth saying about us as far as our relationship to God, our relationship to Christ, our standing in the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's an important topic, isn't it, guys?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's huge, Bob. And, you know, one of the most common myths, I think, that floats around in the evangelical Christian world is that God is looking at us as if we're righteous, even though we're really not. In other words, the idea of the Jesus glasses, so to speak, that, you know, there's these Jesus lenses that God is looking at us through, and that no real change has occurred in our hearts, in our lives, spiritually, in our makeup, who we are as children of God, but instead God is just kind of pulling the wool over his own eyes and pretending that we're righteous until we get to heaven, and then, maybe then, we'll really be righteous. And so we end up with simply a view called imputed righteousness, and we deny the reality of imparted righteousness. So imputed righteousness is the idea that it's been credited to your account, that it's sitting in a bank account somewhere. And, of course, that's true. I mean, the Bible talks about we are credited with righteousness because of what Christ did, but also it says we're born of the Spirit, that we're born of God, that we are children of God, that we have a nature change, that we've got a new spirit and a new heart. And so I guess the best way to put it is our righteousness is real. It's been shared with us. Christ shared his righteousness with us, and it's a free gift, but we've got to own it. Because we're going to need it. So it's high time that the church look beyond the Jesus glasses analogy and really see that there's been a spiritual surgery at the core of our being. And because of that, we actually have become the righteousness of God. We've got new hearts, new spirits, a whole new set of desires. And God's not pretending. There really is a change in who we are at the core.
Yeah, I think that's such an important truth for us to embrace, to grab hold of, because we want to keep bringing our own righteousness back into the picture. We all think that we're basically good people. We all think that, you know, we have something to offer, something to add to this salvation equation or this Christian life equation, but we don't. It's all Christ, and as you said, he's already shared his life with us. Our eternal life is really Christ's life. Our righteousness is his righteousness that has made a difference inside of us. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly good news. We can really rest in that. And I think one of the practical applications of it is simply this, is that there is never a time, because of the fact that we have been made righteous, that we have been given the very righteousness of Christ, there is never, ever a time that we're outside of the grace of God, that we're outside of God's favor. We're always righteous, period, end of story. And yeah. That's so hard for us to grasp, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. And when it comes to holiness, which is a neighboring word there, I mean, we think of, oh, holiness. Well, the Holy Spirit is holy, but I'm not holy. You're not holy. He's not holy. And we think of holiness as some sort of thing that we achieve to. And really, our righteousness is saying, you know, that we are compatible now. I mean, there's no way that a dirty, rotten sinner can contain the Holy Spirit. we would be incompatible with him. So as I like to say it, you know, God cleans house and then, only then does he move in. He cleans house and then he moves in. And so through the forgiveness that we get and through the righteousness, through the new birth that we experience and via the Holy Spirit, this is why the Holy Spirit is compatible with us, because he has made us children of God. And again, you know, if he were just playing some bank account game with us, then there's no way that we could have the Holy Spirit now, right here, right now, and there'd be no real difference in our lives.
That is good news, friends, and you found Basic Gospel on your radio dial. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to call and be a part of it. If you have a question about what we're discussing right now, if you'd like to pose a different particular topic, if you have a specific Bible question you'd like to pose, good opportunity, plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. Give us a call, 844-322-2742, or the shortened number, 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Virginia and talk with Connie, listening to us on our great affiliate, WAVA. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I love the show. Just started listening a couple of weeks ago. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate that. God bless you.
Yeah. I've been saved for about 20 years, and as a young Christian, I've been to more deliverance services than I want to admit. I used to think the only way I could get delivered from something was to go to a service and have someone lay hands on me. So my question is, these were churches, these were Christian people who were in service, having people lay hands on them and spirits speaking out, foaming at the mouth, crawling on the floor. I've seen all kinds of stuff. And it scared me when I saw it, because I wasn't quite sure where do I put this in my belief system? That these people are saying they're Christians, but they're saying they're being delivered from these evil spirits. And I just want some clarity on it, because I've never really figured it out in my years of growth, kind of where to put deliverance when you're a Christian.
Good question, Connie. And I think we can help you with some really solid truth from the Word of God.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Bob, you work through Galatians, Ephesians, Romans, Philippians, Colossians. You work through all of these epistles of the New Testament, you never find an instruction manual on how to cast demons out of Christians. And
right.
there's a reason for that. There's a reason that casting demons out of Christians is entirely absent from all the New Testament letters. And that's because God doesn't share. He doesn't share himself with demons. In other words, when we receive Christ, we're told that the Holy Spirit moves into our lives and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed
right.
with him until the day of redemption. So during our time on earth, Christians cannot be inhabited by demons, because God won't share that spiritual place with the enemy. And so it's really important. You know, I've experienced things like that. I mean, in Indiana, I heard about a pastor who was casting out demons, throwing them into his wife, and then his wife would run to the side door of the church
Lord.
And spit them out. She would spit them out of the building, and apparently they would go away at that point. So you've got all these crazy ideas about what to do about demons and where to put them and where to cast them and where to throw them, and everybody's in this tantalizing distraction mode.
Yes.
Where they're thinking about the enemy and thinking about demons instead of preaching and teaching and focusing on the finished work of Christ. And 1 John tells us that the evil one cannot touch us. If we're born of God, the evil one cannot touch us. So really, for the believer, you know, we can experience some oppressive thoughts. We can experience temptation, accusation. Revelation says he accuses us day and night. But the enemy is all bark and no bite. In other words,
okay. We
got to know that although he's loud sometimes in our lives, he's obnoxious, he's persistent in the way that he tempts or accuses, Connie, we don't have to give in to him. And so sometimes we're freaked out by the volume of the temptation or the frequency
right.
of the temptation. But
yes.
we got to remember that the truth of the matter is that he holds no power over us in Christ, and we don't have to give in for a minute.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Thank
you
very much.
Does that help, Connie?
Yeah, it is. You have no idea the confusion that surrounds this. I've experienced so much. And so this is where my heart and what I believe the Holy Spirit was taking me. And so I'm just going to continue to read and study on what you just said.
Well, let me give you one other passage of Scripture. Jesus said this, if you are really my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. So what Satan and what the demons have at their disposal is error. And they try to use their error, their lies, to deceive us. So if we're going to experience freedom, we have to stand on truth. And that's what Andrew was saying, that this truth is the finished work of Christ, that Christ died to take away all of your sins. Connie, you are a forgiven person. He was raised so that you could have everlasting life. When you trusted him, Jesus came to live inside of you. He cleaned your house. He's alive, living inside of you through his Spirit, and his Spirit will renew your mind with truth, and that truth will set you free from confusion. Amen. That truth will set you free from the lies of this world and whatever deception that Satan is trying to throw your way. And Andrew mentioned accusations. Man, Satan is the accuser. He's going to bring thoughts like, and you call yourself a Christian, into your mind.
That's a lie. It can't be this easy. I heard you talking earlier about grace and righteousness. You, of all people, you can't think that you're righteous. You can't think that you're really going to go to heaven just by confession alone. I mean, I grew up in a very legalistic mindset with the churches. You know, you had to always do something in order to maintain your salvation. They didn't believe that you were secure at all. So it was a hard time to get out of that mindset.
Yeah. Well, truth will set you free, so keep standing on truth.
I will.
Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some great information that will get you into the Word of God and will really help build you a solid foundation in truth. You hang on, okay?
Thank you so much, and God bless you guys.
God bless you too, Connie.
Good to hear from you. Well, plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you, friends. That number again, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time and plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from a listener who asked to remain anonymous. And to the question says, I understand that speaking in tongues is a prayer language. Can a believer, this is a threefold question, can a believer be filled with the Spirit without speaking in tongues? Then second, and since the Bible refers to being sealed by the Spirit, is speaking in tongues proof that one is sealed? Then the third part, can you please explain being filled with the Holy Spirit versus speaking in tongues? So a bunch of questions there.
That's right. This is kind of Holy Spirit Day, which is always good. So is tongues a prayer language? Can a believer be filled with the Spirit or have the gift of the Spirit without speaking in tongues?
Yes.
It's a good question, isn't it?
Yes. And the answer is yes. All of the spiritual gifts, tongues seems to be the one that everybody gets into arguments over. All of the spiritual gifts are in the Spirit. And therefore, the Spirit is in control of those gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that. The Spirit gives these gifts as he sees fit. And why we beat each other up over things like, well, have you spoken in tongues, or have you prophesied, or have you done any of the rest of this stuff, is really beyond me. I mean, Paul was talking to people who had it completely wrong. Why would we take their error and make it our standard of living? It's beyond me. I mean, the Holy Spirit is too powerful, too holy, too wonderful, and completely seals me for salvation. Why should I get wrapped around the axle on something that's so unimportant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, the Bible never correlates being sealed with the Holy Spirit with the idea of speaking in tongues. You're
correct.
Not going to find, you know, speaking in tongues is the evidence of being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Every believer is sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's how we get saved. We're saved by God's Spirit. We're born of God's Spirit. And we're sealed by God's Spirit. And when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, I mean, the verbiage there in Ephesians chapter 5 is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, earlier in Ephesians 3, see, two chapters prior to that, he really shows us that it's getting to know the love of God, that getting to know God's love will enable us to be being filled up to the full measure of who God is in our lives. And so, you know, Paul says many times, I'd rather exude love. Love is the most important thing. I'd rather speak in love than speak in a tongue. It's amazing that we want to, you know, display things that are flashy and showy when God has already announced from the heavens that speaking in love is the most important thing. And love is the most critical, most important spiritual gift that there is. So as far as praying in a prayer language, I mean, I really think that's a misinterpretation of what Paul says. Paul says, I would rather pray with my mind and my spirit. So he's actually recommending that Christians not sit around and just pray in some spiritual fashion without their mind being engaged. And so, you know, I believe that the gift of tongues was speaking in human languages in order to share the gospel with people. People were powerfully endowed by God in order to have this missionary gift of proclaiming the gospel in foreign languages. But for me to sit around in a church service, for example, and just spout off in Swahili while the guy next to me can't even say amen to it, well, I'm not using my mind. He can't say amen. Nobody benefits. And the whole point of it is lost. So it's a missionary gift. It was designed and still is designed to share the gospel with the unbeliever. Paul says it's a sign for the unbeliever, not for the believer. And we really have to put that in context and realize that even as great as that missionary gift is, love still trumps it every single time.
Yes, it does. Yes. I think of Jeannie, who has been our receptionist for so many years and, you know, now comes in and volunteers with us. But she was telling me a story about when she was new in her faith, and she was going to a church, and they took her in a back room and tried to teach her how to speak in tongues. And, you know, you just, you know, stick your tongue out and then just start letting it move, and then hopefully sounds will come out. And she said she just felt foolish. And I can imagine.
Yeah,
I would feel the same way. How can you teach somebody a spiritual gift?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just irony right there.
Yes.
If somebody's going to have that gift, and as Andrew was saying, it is an evangelistic gift to communicate the gospel in a language unknown to you, but in a language known to someone else. You know, how is that going to happen? You can't teach that. That has to be spirit given.
Yeah. Well, we have open lines. We'd love for you to join the conversation, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, if you live on the East Coast, as I said yesterday, particularly in the Washington area, you have a great opportunity to come and hear John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christophers. They celebrate the extravagant love of God in the Network 220 Convention. That's coming up starting just 1 week from today in Bristow, Virginia. All information can be found at basicgospel.net, and we encourage you to go and click the Events tab, and you'll find that at basicgospel.net. And since we have two of the speakers right here with us today, let's talk about it, guys.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, Bob. I'm really looking forward to this one. And, you know, we just had a caller, Connie, who is from Dumfries, which is near Manassas, Virginia. And so if you out there listening, if you're like Connie living in Virginia somewhere or Maryland or the Washington, D.C. area, well, we're talking about a convention, a national convention that is only maybe a half hour to an hour away for you at most. And it's taking place in Bristow, Virginia, at Grace Life Community Church. And like Bob already said, we've got 5 keynote speakers and 11 different workshop presenters. And if you've enjoyed this program and you see the difference in the message that we're proclaiming and then some of the legalism that you've heard in the past, if you want to get together and just unite with other grace-centered, Christ-focused believers, that's what this is about. It's about making friends and connecting with others and hearing some good, solid teaching from the Word of God and really sinking our teeth into the love of God and enjoying Him together, Bob. That's what it's all about, huh?
Yeah, it is. I mean, God is crazy about us, and that's the truth that we have a hard time seeing and really believing. But the fact is, He is crazy about us. He's demonstrated that for us in Christ Jesus. And our hope and prayer is this conference can really connect you in a deep enduring way to the love of Jesus Christ, so that you become convinced that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of God, even your own sins, even your own decisions and those sort of things. Once you're in the love of God, you'll never get out of it. So that's what this conference, it's outrageous, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, and if folks want more information, they can go to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and you'll find all the information there. It's a click away about how to register. We'd love to see you there. It's coming up this next weekend, April 24 to 26 in Bristow, Virginia. Come on out and join us.
Yeah.
Again, the information under the events tab at basicgospel.net.
Yeah, and let's extend it to all of our New York listeners. You're not very far from Washington, D.C. Come join us. And anybody on that East Coast, Louisville, Kentucky, great opportunity. I know we have quite a number of people from Louisville, Kentucky that will be joining us at this event. So come be a part of it. It really will be a life-changing experience.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to New York and talk with Peter, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Peter.
Hey guys. I just want to express I lost my wife March 9th. Mm-hmm. I used to call in a few times. I called in and spoke to you guys. She passed from breast cancer.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. So sorry to hear that. Peter.
Yeah,
I
don't know if you remember me talking to you guys about it. I don't know. You get a million phone calls, but... It's tough, you know, and getting back to, like, the tongues and all. Like, when Paul talks about, I mean, I don't speak in it. I don't, when he says, though I speak in tongue, I don't have the Bible with me to, I'd rather, you know, it must be edified. So did he speak in tongue, or do you think it was a language, his languages he spoke, like Greek,
yeah,
Hebrew?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's what I find, you know, was something going on back then, a tongue, a sort of a tongue?
Well, he needed
it
more.
You know what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah, Peter. He needed it more than anybody. He was the traveling apostle who was going from city to city and talking to all kinds of people. You have the other disciples who became apostles, and they're basically centered around Israel and Jerusalem in particular.
Right.
And Paul is the one who is out preaching to the Gentiles. So, you know, it makes all the sense in the world that he would say, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But then he says, I'd rather speak in love than in a tongue. So he's kind of putting them in their place. They were making a big deal out of tongues when they really needed to be making a big deal out of God's love.
So they were speaking Babel then, in other words.
No,
they were.
No.
No.
No, there's nowhere in the scripture that they were speaking Babel, right, Richard?
Yeah, the Corinthians probably were trying it because they were so competitive.
That's what
but
I'm
that's
saying.
Not what it
not
was.
Not Paul. I mean the other, you know, the in Corinth, the church of Corinth. Maybe they were. I don't know. You know, that's where.
Yeah.
The
true gift involves foreign languages that people needed to hear the gospel in their own language so they could understand it.
And that's why Paul says, you know, even to the Corinthians, Peter, which you mentioned there, I mean, he tells them that when they pray, they need to pray with their minds, not just their spirit, but with their minds. And then he talks about singing. And, you know, people aren't singing in tongues these days, singing in Babel. But, you know, back then what he's saying is, don't sing in Swahili if nobody can sing with you. Don't pray in Swahili if nobody can say amen. In other words, let's use our minds. Let's really minister to people, and let's keep the focus on Jesus.
Well, not that I'm slamming the Catholic Church, but it was held in Latin for how many thousand something years?
Yeah,
so how could you? When do you know to say amen to that?
Yeah,
that's not. There's no way of spreading the gospel that way. That's a hidden. Mm. That's almost cultish.
Don't get us started, Peter.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Peter, thanks for your call, and our hearts go out to you. So sorry about your wife passing away, and God's comfort will be there for you, my friend. And if you ever need to talk, you call us.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Friends, don't forget that Basic Gospel needs your ongoing support to keep the good news coming on the airwaves and online. And you can find the support link when you visit basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.